The epistle to be read for the second Sunday after Pentecost, or the Sunday within the octave of Corpus Christi, is taken from the first epistle of St. John, chapter 3. Dearly beloved, wonder not if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in himself. In this we have known the charity of God, because he hath laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. He that hath the substance of this world, and shall see his brother in need, and shut up his bowels from him, how doth the charity of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word nor in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 14. At that time Jesus spoke to the Pharisees this parable: A certain man made a great supper and invited many, and he sent his servant at that hour of supper to say to them that were invited that they should come, for now all things are ready. And they began all at once to make excuse. The first said to him, I have bought a farm and must needs go out and see it. I pray thee, hold me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to try them. I pray thee, hold me excused. And another said, I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come. And the servant returning told these things to his lord. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the feeble and the blind, and the lame. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said to the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. But I say unto you that none of these men that were invited shall taste of my supper. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Dearly beloved, wonder not if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death to life. Words taken from today's epistle. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, in the city of Madrid in Spain, there is a convent of nuns of the Discalced Order of Mount Carmel. The Discalced Carmelite Order was founded by St. Teresa of Avila in the 16th century. But the name of this convent in Madrid is Santa Ana y San Jose, which in English means St. Anne and St. Joseph. Now, in the chapel of this convent, and in the sanctuary to be precise, there is a gold-plated sarcophagus against the side wall in which are kept the remains of a Sister Maria Sagrario. Sister Maria Sagrario was born in 1881. She entered the Discalced Carmelite Order at this convent in Madrid in the year 1915. She was elected the prioress of this convent on July 1st, 1936. Now, at this time in Spain, the country was on the verge of civil war. A new Spanish Republic had been declared in 1931 with the abdication of King Alfonso XIII. But this republic was not a republic according to our understanding of republic. This new Spanish republic was an atheistic, anti-Catholic, communist state that was hateful to God, the Catholic faith, and the Catholic Church. And thus it was not long after they seized power that they worked very hard to destroy the Catholic Church and the Catholic way of life in Spain. The Civil War broke out on July 18, 1936, when a group of Catholic generals and soldiers under the leadership of Francisco Franco went to war against the communists. But no sooner had the Civil War begun when communist soldiers, police, and mobs of people began to violently attack Catholic churches, seminaries, monasteries, and convents throughout Spain. They confiscated religious houses and churches, or they burned them down. They put to death priests, sisters, brothers, and even a number of Catholic laymen. But among the first convent to be attacked was St. Anne and St. Joseph in Madrid. July 20th, 1936, hardly 2 days after the Civil War began, a mob of soldiers and thugs arrived at the convent. But Sister Maria Sagrario, the superior, was not unmindful of the events about to unfold in Spain. She had been previously warned by friends that she and her nuns were in grave danger. Prudent and wise as she was, and concerned for the safety of her sister, she had already begun hiding the sisters in the private homes of certain Catholic people. She herself took refuge with another sister and her family. And thus, the night they raided the convent in Madrid, there were no nuns there. It was completely empty. But evil does not give up so easily. Thus they began to diligently search for them throughout the city. And so it was on the night of August the 14th, the home in which Sister Maria Sagrario was hiding was raided by police, who arrested her and the other Carmelite sister. They were led away for questioning, and when the police and their mob of gangsters learned that Sister Maria Sagrario was the prioress of the convent, they were thrilled in their wickedness. They were thrilled because they were so eager to learn where she hid the sacred vessels of gold and silver used during the Mass. For they had already rummaged through the convent, and they could not find them, let alone anything of much value. But when she would not tell them, they physically beat her. And yet, despite their monstrous cruelty, Sister Maria Sagrario would not tell them, even as she forgave them as they hit her. She would not tell them where she hid the chalices and the other sacred vessels. She remained silent through the whole ordeal. She was then asked to tell them where the other nuns of the convent were hiding. But again she remained silent. And again they unleashed upon her threats of death, even as they struck her over and over. But in the midst of this suffering and this terrible pain, she again remained silent, except to forgive her persecutors. She had such a faith and confidence in Christ that she was often heard to say throughout her religious life, "Blessed is he who arranges everything for our good." In possessing Christ, we possess everything. It is said that she even prayed and begged our Lord Jesus Christ to take her life, but to spare her sisters. And our divine Savior answered her prayer. But the following day, the Feast of the Assumption, Sister Maria Sagrario was taken out to an abandoned prairie out just outside of the city of Madrid. And there she was shot before a firing squad. Her last words were, "Viva Cristo Rey." Long live Christ the King. But Jesus accepted her sacrifice, as all the sisters of the Descalced Carmelite Convent were never discovered. And even the one who had been arrested with her survived the persecution. Now, my dear friends, as I mentioned, today's epistle is taken from St. John's first epistle. St. John wrote three epistles. He wrote his first epistle around the year 96. In fact, it was written at the same time that he wrote his gospel. St. John was living in the city of Ephesus at this time. He had just returned from exile on the island of Patmos, having been sent there from Rome by the Roman Emperor Domitian after the emperor's attempt to boil him alive in a cauldron of oil had failed. And there in Ephesus, he wrote his gospel and his first epistle. And in his first epistle, St. John essentially teaches three things. First, there is a kingdom of darkness as well as a kingdom of light. And the kingdom of darkness is opposed to the kingdom of light. Secondly, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he has become a man to bring men from the darkness to the light. And finally, we must believe in the divinity of Christ, since through him alone we become children of God. And as children of God, we must have a true charity for each other. "Dearly beloved, wonder not," he wrote in this epistle today, "wonder not if the world hates you." In other words, we should not be surprised nor astonished that we are despised by the world on account of our faith. A learned and pious Jesuit priest once said of these words of St. John, "Everything is opposed to and hates its contrary. As black is opposed to white, cold to heat, sweetness to bitterness. So," this priest writes, "the world hates the faithful." Pope St. Leo the Great said of these words, "Wickedness is never at peace with righteousness." And it is true, this great saint said, that they who wish to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. St. John himself had lived through a number of violent persecutions. He was in Jerusalem when St. Stephen, the first martyr, was put to death by the Jews. He was in Jerusalem when King Herod Agrippa arrested his brother, the Apostle James the Greater, and put him to death. He lived through the persecution of the Roman Emperor Nero, in which persecution Saints Peter and Paul were martyred. And he lived through the persecution of the Emperor Domitian, though not without first suffering torment, but preserved from death by divine power and wisdom. Saint John thus knew by experience the hatred of the world for Christianity. And he would thus, in his first epistle, warn true Christians that they will be despised and rejected by the world. So it was then, my dear people, and so it shall be till the very end of time. Those who truly believe in Jesus Christ and in the one true Catholic faith, those who believe that the Catholic Church is the one and only church established by Christ for salvation, those who believe in an objective standard of morality, that there is an objective right and wrong, and that all men must obey God's commandments, especially his commandments in regard to purity and marriage. Those who believe these things will suffer persecution of some kind and in some way, whether it is violent and bloody, such as the persecution of the church in Spain less than 100 years ago, in which over 7,000 priests, religious sisters and brothers were put to death, among them Sister Maria Sagrario. Or they will suffer persecution by means of ridicule, humiliation, or pressure to conform to the ways of the world. How often today we hear that all religions are essentially good, or one religion is as good as another. And how often Catholics are pressured to accept this lie and this error. And how common it is today, the pressure to accept and approve of divorce and remarriage, among the other grave evils promoted today concerning purity and marriage. How many of our own Catholic families must face this cross of divorce and remarriage within their families or their friends or acquaintances? And because they will not accept it nor approve of it, let alone accept the fake annulments of the new modernist church, they are accused of lacking charity, and thus they are persecuted. When all is said and done, my dear friends, those who profess and practice the one true Catholic faith and morals will be hated. We must not wonder then, as St. John writes in today's epistle, that the world hates us, that the world is against us for our unwillingness to accept and sanction its errors, its falsehoods, and its immoralities. But you must understand at the same time, my dear friends, that because we reject, for example, this false notion and heresy that one religion is as good as another, and we firmly condemn divorce and remarriage, abortion, impurity of every kind, this does not mean that we hate those who commit such sins. Oh yes, we hate the sin, and we will not accept it as though it were okay. Such things are never okay, and no one has the right to do them. People may have the ability to freely choose to do evil People may have the power to choose to do sin by their free will, but they do not have a right to sin. They have no right to offend God. No one has the right then to do whatever they want. But as true Catholics, and thus devoted to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary, in our charity we pray, as the Lady of Fatima has asked, we pray for the conversion of sinners. We pray that the Sacred Heart of Jesus and His mercy through the Immaculate Heart of Mary will grant them the grace of true repentance so that they will turn from their state of darkness and sin to the state of light and grace. We thus do not hate such people, just as Sister Maria Sagrario did not hate her persecutors, but even forgave them. But after the Apostle spoke of the hatred of the world in today's epistle, he immediately wrote these words: "We know that we have passed from death to life." And by these few words, the Apostle offers encouragement to true Christians. St. John says this, wrote a certain priest, "for our consolation and to keep us," he says, "from dreading the hatred of the world." How we should then, this priest goes on to say, how we should be comforted and consoled despite the many evils that surround us, since we have, by God's grace, been brought into the state of sanctifying grace, which is life, from the state of sin, which is death. You see, my dear friends, no matter what evils may befall us, no matter what others may say or do, no matter how much we may be hated and despised, mocked or ridiculed for our faith and our morals, we can still have peace in our hearts, because we have, by the mercy of God, the one true Catholic faith and God's grace. And the state of sanctifying grace gives us the right, as the Council of Trent infallibly teaches, to go to heaven. And that is the one thing that really and truly matters. This is our comfort, this is our consolation in the midst of a sinful and unbelieving world. What a blessing it is then to have the true faith and the grace of God. A blessing which I fear we don't appreciate as often as we should. Nothing else in the world compares to our faith in the state of grace. As we thank God then for this tremendous gift of the true faith, for the tremendous gift of His love and His grace, we must do our part to persevere in it. Yes, we will suffer persecution in one way or another, as Catholics have suffered persecution down through the centuries. But how pleased God will be with our efforts to persevere in loving Him and being faithful to Him. May we then ever be consoled by the practice of our faith, even as we strive to love God more than anyone or anything. May we rather lose the things of the world than to lose the love and grace of God. And finally, may we, like Sister Maria Sagrario, a courageous and holy martyr of Christ, be ever resigned to God's will, mindful of the consoling words of that saintly nun, "Blessed is he who arranges everything for our good." In possessing Christ, we possess everything. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.